in chapter 6, I believe it is, that God sent the great flood, used Noah and his family to build the ark. And God destroyed everything, every living thing on the earth, except for that was on the earth. The only thing that survived was what was in the ark, the animals, and Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives. And the Bible says that when the waters were receded, they opened up the doors of the ark and told them to go and replenish and multiply and replenish the earth. And then so we come up here in Scripture where all that's taking place, and God's judged them at the Tower of Babel, and the nations, the people are scattered abroad, and then we come here to this place in with Abraham, and in chapter number 13. Now, I want to remember the thought that I'm going to preach on this morning, a family that backslid, and simply what I'm talking about there, and we don't hear that word backslid or in a backslider much anymore, it's just not preached, but listen, what it means is someone, a saved person, someone that knows the Lord as their personal Lord and Savior, but yet they simply backslide away from Him, in a sense, slip away from Him. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. You can't lose your salvation no matter how far you slide backwards. But I'm just saying, if we can think about maybe on steps that go up, maybe 10 steps, and we're at step number 8, but yet in our life, the choices we make, things that take place in our life, we may backslide down to the 4th step or so. And simply what that means is we're not as close to God as we once were. Okay? Now, I also want to start out this morning by saying that I personally have been here a couple of times the last 13 years that I've been saved, maybe even more than that. But two particular times where, you know what, that God just didn't mean as much to me as He did at other times, as He does today. And I want to talk about that this morning, a family that backslid. And we may be in here, some of you may be in that same very situation this morning where, you know what, you know that you're saved, but yet you're not living the life that the Lord wants you to live. And you know what, your burden that you once had to come to church, to witness to people, to go to different events where hang around with friends that you know have the same convictions as you. You know what? All of a sudden, those things are a priority in your life anymore. And you know what? In a sense, you're saying, okay, there's other things that's more important to me than Lord. That's really what you're saying. And if we went around the room here, probably each one of us has been in that category before. There may be some, and I believe with all my heart there's some, if not many here this morning, that you know what? That's where you find yourself right smack dab in the middle of. You know what? Hey, you're saved, but yet you're just not where you need to be with the Lord. And let me say this, that the best thing for a Christian, for a backslider, is 1 John 1:9, where Jesus said, if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And that's a promise that He gave us. But this morning, I want you to evaluate your life. And I want you to sit here before you even get started, and I want you to think in your life. Number one, ask the question, am I saved? Do I know without a shadow of a doubt that I'm saved this morning? Number two, hey, if you're not, man, what would be a wonderful, wonderful day to get born again. Let me say this, that number two, if you are saved, ask this question, and you know what, am I where I need to be with the Lord? And you know what, if you can ask yourself that question honestly, and if you say I'm not, then you know what, your prayer this morning ought to be, God, help show me some things in my life that I've got to get rid of, that I've got to do, that I've got to take care of, so that I can get where I need to be with you. You know what, God wants to use each one of us in here for something. He does, but guess what? He can't use us if we're not in His will. He can't use us the way He wants to be if we've got sin ruling and dominating and taking over our life. We can't do it. We may be able to do a little bit for Him, but you know what? We may not be able to do exactly all He wants us to do for Him. And I do know this, every time that I've been obedient to my Lord and Savior, God has blessed in some way, form, or fashion. And you know what? I don't want somebody else to get the blessings that God has in store for me. But I will say this, if I sit here on my rear end and I don't do anything for Him and my burdens go away, I'm just glad I'm saved. And that's where some of you sit this morning. You're just glad that you're saved. You're not going to hell. And you know what? But you're just happy. You're content where you are. You know what? Instead of me getting those blessings, you know what? It may be Brother Bill that gets them. And God said, well, if I'm not going to be willing to be used, guess what? He'll use somebody else. And let me say this. He doesn't have to have us. He wants to use us. But you know what? He can continue the mission of life for people coming to know His Son as Jesus, the Lord Jesus as Savior, without me in it. And without Brother Bill in it, without Miss Kim, without any of you young boys and girls. But He wants to use us. And as we go through the Scripture here today, I hope that I can bring out some things that, you know what, that will just grab a hold of your heart and that you think about, and you know what, that you never ever forget. And I believe if we do this, if you're able to do that, it'll help you. You know what, in a sense, instead of sliding backwards from God, hey, you can go up to step number 11 and 12 and 13 and on and so forth, and that you continue to grow. The Bible talks about those who are still on the mount, those that have been saved but yet never have been able to get into the meat. Think of a little child as they're born. You know what? You can't all of a sudden feed a one-day, two-year-old little child a steak, can you? What's going to happen? They're going to choke. They can't absorb it. They don't know. But they start out with milk, and then they go into maybe some fruits that's mashed up and then some vegetables, and all of a sudden one day, you know what, they're eating like everybody else. But you know what? The Bible says there's some Christians that, you know what, they get saved, but they never grow in the Lord. They always stay there in that state where they're just feeding on milk. And listen, we need to get to that point where we jump the hurdle, whatever we got to do, that you know what, that we get into the meat. I mean that we get into, you know what, hey, we have burdens that bother us day in and day out. You know what, there's times we lay our head down, we're praying for our friends, our family, our school, your teachers, your parents. There'd be times we wake up in the morning and you know what, we ought to just say, oh God, what are you going to do with me today? I wonder what's going to take place today. And listen, it's serious, but reality is a lot of us this morning, we sit in here, and we're in this condition where we're not as close to God as we used to be. And I'm going to read here verse chapter number 13. I want to read the first 13 verses, and then I'll come back to each one or a couple of them, and I'll give you three thoughts this morning. Let me say, first of all, in verse 13, chapter 1, the Bible says, "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had with Lot, and Lot with him, unto the south." So Abraham takes him and his family, and he brings along his nephew Lot with him. And Abram, verse 2, was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel and to the place where his tent had been in the beginning between Bethel and Hai, and to the place of the altar where he had made there at first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. I may mention this in just a little while, but let me, just in case I forget it, while it's on my mind, let me go ahead and say here that in verses 3 and 4 here, it says that he went to the south into Bethel. That word Bethel means the house of God. And if you turn back and you go back a few chapters and you read that when Abraham, he went here to this place and he built an altar, and there he prayed and he offered sacrifices unto the Lord, and God helped Abraham. And we see here that he's going back to the same place, okay, the same place in where God had gave him help in times past. And can I say this? You know what? The best place that the Lord's ever done something for me was, you know what, the best time of my life and the greatest time was when I got saved. And I got saved at home, and I don't live in that home anymore. But sometimes, you know what, when we're coming back from town, we often just drive by that house because you know what? When I go by there, it just reminds me of some things that's taking place there. But many times here in these altars, and it may be in your life at your home or in these altars or at the ball field or maybe in your classroom or somewhere where you know God has helped you before, you know what? A lot of times we'll find ourselves going back to those same places. And there's nothing wrong with that. But here we see that he went back there to Bethel and he built the place of the altar which he had made at first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Verse 5, and Lot also went with him, went with Abraham and had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great so that they could not dwell together. Now, what's taking place here, the Bible says that Abraham was very rich in cattle, and he had a large family, and he had silver and gold and had much, but Lot also had stuff. Lot had many things, many cattle. He had many of his family. And the Bible says here that they just basically, that the land that they were, their own, their everything was too large for them to get along with. And this is what happened in verse 7. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Abraham said, look, there's no reason for us to be getting upset. Hey, we're kin and we're brethren, and you know what? Man, there's no reason for us to be here doing this. Is not the whole land before thee, in verse 9, separate thyself, I pray, thee from me, if thou wilt, and take the left hand, and I will go to the right, and if thou depart to the right, then I will take the left. Here we see that Abraham offers, look, there's no reason if we stay together, there's going to be problems. Hey, let's just separate. I'll go one way, you go the other. Don't matter to me. Verse 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. And Lot, verse 11, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Sodom was a wicked place, and we'll get into that in just for a moment. But he pitched his tent toward Sodom. And verse 13 said, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Let's pray again. Father, this morning, I pray your help, Lord. And Lord, as we've read your word, give me, Lord, what I need for this morning. God, I can be a vessel, Lord, and that I might be able to help each and every one that's here this morning. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we see that a problem has arose. And Abraham here, and he's traveling alone, and God's using Abraham, and God is the leader there, and God's using him, dealing with him, and as they're carrying on their lives, and they begin to multiply. His family got bigger. The cattle began to have more calves, and they got bigger, and his substance, his wealth began to increase, and the Bible says that he took Lot with him. Now, if we go back and we read the God tells Abraham to get up and get out of the town place that he is. He said, take thy family and get out. And you know what? But he grabbed Lot and he brought Lot along with him. And when he shouldn't have. And we see here that it came to where it set up problems. Let me say the best thing for each one of us to do is to do exactly what the Lord tells us to. Nothing more, nothing less. But that we do exactly what he tells us to. And we come here to all of a sudden there arises a problem. And here I want us to see a family that backs it. Abraham's family, I want us to see where they slipped away from God. And let me say, first of all, and I want to talk about three things this morning of a backslider or backsliding. Number one, most of all, I want to say, number one, there's a cause of backsliding. There's a cause that we slide away from God. There's a call that our relationship is not as close to Him as it has been in times past. There's a reason that we maybe our priorities are out of order and we don't serve Him the way that we should be serving Him. There's a reason. There's a cause this morning of a backslider, of backsliding. And let me say, number one, here in these scriptures, we see that there was greed that was involved. There was greed. Lot was greedy. He was a man that, you know what, he wanted the best for him. He didn't care about anybody else. He was worried about him and his family and his flocks, and he didn't care about Abraham. And let me say this morning that some of you in here, you know what? You may be ruled and your life dominated by greed. And hey, there's a time in my life I've been greedy. I'm not going to lie to you. Before I got saved, hey, I was very greedy. I was very selfish when it came to money and how we gave and what we did. But you know what? The Lord changed my life when He saved me, and that part went away. Let me say a cause, number one, of backsliding. There's a cause of backsliding, but we see greed here in the Scriptures. Look in verse numbers 10 and 11. In verse 9, we see that Abraham said, Lot, Listen, there shouldn't be any strife between us. You choose one way, you go to the left, I go to the right, or I'll go to the left and you go to the right. He said, I don't care. It's just time for us to separate because it's causing strife. And then in verse 10 it says, and Lot, when Abraham gave Lot a choice, okay, it says, and Lot lifted up his eyes and behold all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. And Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, verse 11. So here when the time arose that Abraham said, okay, there's got to be a change that takes place here. We're going to separate from each other. You know what? We see that Lot looked out among, he looked out across and he saw the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered. That there was water everywhere. Now think about this. Times that you need water to live. Hey, we need it today. If we don't, you know what? We can go without water so long and flood so long. Guess what? Then we die. But he saw that it was well watered. Think about it. They didn't have McDonald's back here. They didn't have a Steak and Shake. They didn't have places they could just go to. Guess what? They farmed. They had cattle. They offered sacrifices, but not only that, hey, they had to kill them and eat them for meat. They were often farming, and it looked well. The Bible said that, it looked very, very good. And he said, I'll go this way. And there in verse number 11, he says, and he chose the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan. That word Canaan there represents, if you research it, it means victory. As they crossed over into Canaan later on, that was victory for the children of Israel. But let me say, greed caused Abraham or Lot to be motivated to make the wrong choice in life. And let me say this: the plain of Jordan looked very good to him. And oftentimes in our life, and this is very important, oftentimes in our life, you know what? There's things that arise. There's things that come up. You know what? We're at the moment where we need to make choices and we need to make a decision. And guess what we do? We do like Lot did. We look out and we try on our own self. Nowhere do we see that they took time to pray, that Lot said, well, let's pray about this and see which way I need to go and you need to go. Or let's just see if we can't just dissolve the problem and continue on. Lot, all of a sudden, he just said, hey, I want this way. It looks better. You know what? You better be careful making choices and decisions based on how something looks. You know what? Hey, all the time, that's not the best thing. That's not what the Lord wants in your life. But so often, you know what? Us as mankind, as human beings, we try to look and we try to figure things out for ourselves. And you know what? What may look good may not be what the Lord wants in your life. Oftentimes, it's not what God wants you in your life. I often think about fishing, and I don't fish a lot. And went with Jamie a couple years ago, and we just rode down and actually was watching a fishing tournament, and we followed these boats around and how they worked that worm, and they'd put that, boy, they'd throw it out there, they'd make it dance, and boy, you know what? To those fish, guess what? Man, that worm looked good, didn't it? That thing looked good. And I'm sure those fish were hungry. And they saw this little worm dancing. They thought, man, that's going to be breakfast. And they go over. Guess what? They bite that worm. And all of a sudden, guess what happens? That fisherman yanks that rod and sets that hook in the jaw of that fish. And you know what? All of a sudden, then they're reeled in. That fisherman reels that fish in. You know what? Takes him out of the water. All right, takes him out of the water, and oftentimes, you know what? They go home, and what happens? They become food. They die. Spiritually, let me say this morning. There may be sometimes the devil, he'll dance a little worm out in front of you, the little something out in front of you, and it looks good, and you say, hey, man, this is what I need. Hey, this is exactly what the Lord wants for me to have, and you know what? Yet we all of a sudden go up, we take that big bite, and guess what? Satan jerks that hook into us. And spiritually, you know what? We may not be able to ever do any, or we won't be able to do anything for God until, you know what? We get right with Him. You know what? What looks good all the time may not be the right way. Often, so often, you know what we do, teenagers, young people? It starts over here with these little kids now. But you know what? Oh, there's somebody that looks so beautiful. That's my husband. That's my lifelong dream. That's who I'm going to marry. Oh, my goodness. Somebody walks in the room, you get sweating because you, I mean, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. You know what that is? Let me tell you this. God never intended for you at your age to be caught up in a relationship with somebody where your eyes is taken off of him. Now, I don't care what your parents say. I don't care what anybody else tells you. That's not the way it's supposed to be. You know what? Hey, your education should be first. Get your education. You know what? And then you sit back and you be patient and you wait and you let the Lord send somebody in your life. Don't go out there searching and trying to find somebody. You know what? You won't find the right one most of the time. You know what? He can paint a pretty picture. Satan can, boy, he can make things look very good in your life. He can, oh my goodness. You say, hey, that's, man, and you bite that, you take that step, you bite that, and you realize, uh-oh, this is the wrong thing. You know what? You know why we preach? You know why we teach? You know why we have a Christian school? You know why we try our best to teach you what the Bible says? Because we don't want there to be a uh-oh in your life. You know what? We don't want there to be a time all of a sudden you realize you've been tricked, you've been fooled, and all of a sudden Satan then set the hook in your jaw. Listen, greed sets in our lives so often. You know what? If you're not careful, you'll be just like Lot. You'll be greedy. You'll want the things that look better, that taste better, that smell better. You'll want those things just because, you know what? You want them. And let me say number two here, not only the cause of backsliding, you see greed, but we also see selfishness here in these verses. Now, we can go over in verse 7 through 9, we see that it wasn't Lot that came to Abraham and said, look, there's trouble in between my herdsman and your herdsman. I'm talking about selfishness, being selfish. Some of you are the most selfish people that I've ever laid my eyes on. You are. You only care about you and you only. You don't care what anybody else does. You don't care what they do. You don't care. You let the words come out of your mouth. You don't care if you hurt somebody. You don't care if they get mad at you. You're rebellious at home. You talk to your parents just like you do anybody else, and that's not right either. And you know what? You're just selfish. Bottom line, you're just selfish. You want whatever's best for you. Whatever feels good, that's what you want. Whatever looks good, that's what you want. You have no desire whatsoever for anybody else that around you. Even your own family, you take advantage of. Can I say this? You know what? If you're not careful, and I've learned this in my life, the very people that hurt you the most is the very ones that we love the most. And you know what? The very ones that you can hurt more than anybody else is the very ones that love you. And I'm talking about our own families. You know what? So often, the ones I hurt the most is my wife and my children. And I'm not happy about that. I'm ashamed of that. But that's true. And you know what? Some of you treat your parents like they're just dirt on the floor, and you could care less. You know what set in your life? Greed and selfishness. Here, it wasn't Lot that came to Abraham. It was Abraham that, you know what, took the initiative to say, Lot, you know what? I know there's problems. They shouldn't be. I'll be glad to take my family and my herd and everything I have one way, and you go the other. Man, look, ain't the whole world out here before us. You know what? You go one way, I'll go the other. See, we see unselfishness in Abram's life, but we see selfishness. We see that man, good gracious. We see it in Lot's life. He could care less. He could care less. Just, he could care less. But Abraham said, you know what? Hey, I'll just go this way. And when Lot chose the plane there, guess what? We see that Abraham said, okay, I'll just go the other way. And the Bible says they separated. But you know what? There's a cause to backsliding. Greed, number one, will cause you to backslide. Selfishness will cause you to backslide. But let me say this right here. Pride will cause you to backslide also. Pride will cause you to backslide. And you know what it'll do? All these things, greed and selfishness and pride, not only will they cause you to slip away or slide away from God, but you know what? They'll keep you in that position also until you make things right. It'll keep you. You know what? If you're not careful, you'll keep taking making wrong decision after wrong decision after wrong decision, bad choice, wrong friends, wrong time, wrong place, and all of a sudden you're either further away from God. And then, you know what that pride does in our life? Even if the Lord shows us that we're wrong, even if he shows us that, you know what, that we're not doing what we're supposed to do, even if he just speaks to us and we know without a doubt what it is, he lays a finger on it, and he tells us what it is in our life that's keeping us away from him, that pride in your life and in our life is what causes us to stay right where we are. We're too prideful to say those two words that we often should say, I'm sorry. You know what? Hey, some of you amongst each other, you know what? You know what? There's strife between some of you today. And you know what it is? It's because of selfishness and pride and greed and rebellion. And you know what? That relationship may be hindered today because you're too selfish to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Words we ought to say more than we do anything else. I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry that I'm not living a life I should live for you. I'm sorry that I've hurt your feelings. You know what, Miss King? I'm sorry that, you know what, that, hey, I spoke to you in an unkindly manner. Jonathan, I'm sorry that if I've ever offended you for anything. I'm sorry. Hey, we hardly ever say it anymore. I'm sorry. Pride is what causes us to do that. We'd rather go on about our business, just let things fall the way they fall. Let us live the way we live, and hey, I'm going to take care of me and me only, and I don't care about anybody else, and that's the way you go through life. The Bible says it's better to give than to receive. And yet, you know what we do? Our flesh says, receive, 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 give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, I won't, take, take, take. But pride, there's a cause of backsliding, selfishness, greed. Let me say pride. But let me say, number two, not only is there a cause of backsliding, but there's a course of backsliding. There's a course that takes place. Now, we know the cause, okay? The cause is mankind, our decisions, what we do, what we make. That's the reason. God's never changed, will not change, says he's the same today, tomorrow. He'll be the same forever. He never changes. It's not his fault if we're away from him. It's our fault, our decisions, our choices. But we see here not only is there a cause, but there's also a course of backsliding. Let me say this course of backsliding, it's a gradual course. It's a gradual course, or let me say maybe in a better sense, it's a slow process. You see, I went to bed last night and I laid there and had a burden, just a big burden on my heart, and for a certain young lady and family, and man, I just laid there and boy, I my heart was just broken for this family, and I mean it was broken, and I laid there and I don't know how long I laid there. I couldn't go to sleep. But I laid there and I laid there and I laid there and I laid there and I began to think about different things that she had told me yesterday and as we counseled with her and I began to just think about things that she had mentioned to me and Brother Kelly and all of a sudden we began to talk about, hey, this was going on for 7 years. And she made the statement that, you know what, it's taken her this long to realize, number one, she's not right with God, she's out of God's will, but she was saved. I do believe that. But you know what, it actually just goes right along with what I was wanting to preach. I knew what I was going to preach today. But you know what, it's been a slow course. You know what, I didn't go to bed last night, hey, right smack dab in the middle of God's will, I mean right where he wants me to be, and then wake up this morning being far away from him as I can get. It doesn't happen like that. Yes, we can make a bad decision. All of a sudden, that fellowship may be broken with the Lord. But you know what? The cause of backsliding, or the course of backsliding, it's gradual. Hey, it's a little bit. You just don't wake up the next day and you go from being in God's will to being out of God's will. You know what? But what I see in some of your lives, what I see in some of your lives right now today, and what I've seen in others' life, and what I've seen in my personal life, and I've experienced personally, that you know what? It takes sometimes, you know what? We begin to slip and slip and slip and slip, but we think we're okay. And day after day after day goes by, you know what? And we think we're okay. But yet others around us that know us good, they see that there's something going on in your life. You know what? When you come here and there's something wrong with you, you're going through something in your life, you got sin in your life, you know what? I can tell you. I may not be able to tell you what it is, but I can tell you. Your teachers, they see you every day. They know when you're good, when you're happy, when you're bad. You know what? They know when something's going on in your life. They may not know what it is. Your parents know you better than anybody. They know when something's going on in your life. They know that. But look, the course is often gradual. How many of you have looked at my left front tire of my truck lately and realized that it's slack? Anybody? Raise your hand. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of you? It has been slack. I didn't want my old left tire out, but you know what? I've done that on purpose. I wanted to use that illustration this morning. Maybe Brother Bill might buy me a new tire. You know what happened with my truck? I don't know what's happened, but I've looked at that. I can't find a nail in it anywhere. But you know what? It's got a slow leak in it. It does. And for about 3 weeks now, you know what? I get in and you look at it there. It's leaning over on the left side. You can tell it needs air in it. But you know what? I've just left it like that. I wondered how many people could realize and notice that, you know what, my tire was slack and I needed it. And there's been a few of us, hey, you need to put some air in that tire. I said, okay, I will, one day. I'll do it today. But you know what? Gradually, for 3 weeks, you know what, that slowly, wherever it is, and I don't know where it is, but you know what, gradually, guess what? There's been air coming out of that tire. And I say that, and I use that illustration to say this. The course of backsliding, you know what? It takes a time. It's a slow process. But all of a sudden, we find ourselves out of the will of God. Little by little. You know what? Little by little. A little bit more today, a little bit more tomorrow. We give the devil a little bit of our time today. We give him a little bit more tomorrow. All of a sudden, you know what? He's got all of our time. We have no time for God. And we slide and backslide away from God. You know whose fault that is? It's ours. There's a course. It's gradual. It's like a slow leak in a tire. You know what? It's gradual. You know what? If I came in here and I began to act crazy, and man, I got out of God's will, guess what? Every one of y'all would know that. Y'all would see me. Y'all realize something's wrong with him. Man, he's not like he usually is. And it's easy for us to see someone else, you know what, as making bad. It's easy for us to see somebody else that, you know what, that is sliding away from God. It's easy for that. It's very easy. But yet when it's yourself, it's ourself, it's you, it's me, guess what? In those times, you know what? You don't realize it. Why? Because of pride in our life. It's us. It's not somebody else. But when it's your best friend, guess what? You realize it. You see it in their life. And I wonder how often you just sit there and say nothing about it. There's a course. There's also a cause of backsliding. Listen, the course is it's gradual. A little bit at a time, a slow leak. Listen, Lot left Haran with Abraham, and if we follow him, they went to Canaan, to Shechem, to Bethel, to Egypt, and back to Bethel, and then all of a sudden, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Listen, that takes, if you look at it, there's a period of time there, it was several years in there until we get to the point where they separate. But let me say it's gradual. Let me say number two, that it's quietly. It begins quietly. Not only is it gradual or slow, but the course of backsliding is quietly. You know what? You can go out there to that truck of mine and you can lay down all up there beside that tire and you can listen and you know you won't hear a bit of air coming out of that tire. You won't hear it. You won't hear not one little whisper of that tire. You know, sometimes life it comes about gradually and slowly and quietly, but then all of a sudden, you know what? Bam! The devil's got us. All of a sudden, bam! We're not living for the Lord. We're not reading our Bible anymore. We're not doing the things that we're supposed to do. We're not doing the things that we should do. Let me say this: it's quiet and it's gradual. I wonder how many of you, and I don't want you to raise your hand, I would never embarrass you anyway, but I wonder, and I've seen this so many times, you know what? Things start happening in somebody's life, sin creeps in, all of a sudden God's not on top of their list of priorities anymore, they begin to hang around with the wrong group or whatever the case. I'm talking about teenagers, young people, I'm talking about parents. I've seen it in our lives where all of a sudden, you know what, we are out of God's will. You know what, I've seen it even in church where, you know what, all of a sudden, 1 week, a family don't come. And you know what, all of a sudden, it makes it easier the next week not to come. But maybe you miss one church service, and all of a sudden, then it's two, and then all of a sudden, it's three, and all of a sudden, you know what, you're not coming at all. You know what, it may be that, you know what, you have a prayer time or something during the day. All of a sudden, you skip that one day. Well, guess what? The devil gives you more time to do other things, put things in your life. All of a sudden, you know what? Missing one prayer time, you won't be praying at all through the day. Maybe it's a time that you can read your Bible. Guess what? All of a sudden, the devil may give you something to do. And you know what? Hey, you missed that one time reading your Bible. And all of a sudden, guess what? You're not reading it at all anymore. You know what? Maybe there was a time that you had a burden for somebody, but yet, you know what? All of a sudden, hey, one day you forget. Lift them up, and all of a sudden, you know what? That's not a burden anymore in your life. There's a cause, there's a course of backsliding. It's slow, and it's quietly. It's quietly. But let me say this. You know what? It'll put us in a place that we don't want to be. And that's what happened here in Lot's life. All of a sudden, everything was quiet. Everyone's going around, walking around, and moving from place to place and dwelling with Lot and Abraham, all of them, and all of a sudden, everything's been, all of a sudden, here comes an uproar. Here it is. And we see where the family starts to backslide here. And let me say this, that the course of backsliding is gradual, it's quietly, but it also allows blindness to set in our lives. Over in Genesis chapter number 19, and if you want to turn there, you can, but Genesis chapter 19, I want to read some verses to you. Now, think about this. Now, I'm talking about the backslider, okay? We're talking about a course or a cause, greed, selfishness, pride. Hey, the course is often, it's gradual, it's slow. Hey, it can be quiet. And all of a sudden, but listen, what it allows to do in your life, it allows blindness to set in your life. Genesis chapter 19, verses 4 through 8 says this. Genesis 19, 4 through 8 says this. Bible says, verse 4, but they lay down the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round both old and young and all people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into this night? Bring them unto us that we may know them. And Lot went out the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which I have not known man. And let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and you do unto them as good in your eyes, and only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And here we'll see that sin allows blindness to set in our eyes. The Bible tells us that, you know what, reason we can't see afar off? Because we're blinded. You know what, that we're blinded, that we can't see because we're blinded. Listen, the Satan would love it. It's like that little worm that he made dance in front of you. Guess what? It allows blindness to set in. Where you know what? You really don't see the way that God would have you to see. And we see here in this particular scripture here that Lot now, he says he has two daughters that never known man, two virgin daughters, and they're in a city of Sodom, a city of that's just covered with homosexuality, if you read about it. It's a wicked city. It's a wicked city that we'll see in just a minute that God destroys. And he tells Lot to get up out of there, and he destroys the whole city because of their wickedness. And when Lot and his family came in that night, those men saw him, and those men were seeking after those other men. Talking about wickedness. Hey, allows blindness to set on. And Lot himself said, don't do anything to these men, but here, take my daughters. How foolish and how blind could Lot have been? Rather to give his daughters over to these men than the other ones in his family. You know what? Sin allow blindness to set in your life. You'll make decisions that, you know what, when you're in God's will, that you would never ever make in a million years. But we can slide so far away from God that, you know what, even the closest things in our life, the ones that we love the most, you know what, they'll be the very ones that we hurt. It allow blindness to set in. Ephesians 4 and 18 says this, having the understanding darkened, being annihilated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. 1 Peter 1 and 9 says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his sins. Here it talks about that they've gotten so far away from God that they've truly forgotten that they've been saved. They've truly forgotten that, you know what, the Lord wasn't number one in their life anymore. And they've got to that point where nothing else mattered, that they've forgotten that they've been purged from their sins. And think about that in our lives. I wonder if there's any of you in here today that, hey, you have gotten so far away from God that, you know what, you have truly forgotten that you've been purged from your sins. You've forgotten about all the things God's done for you. You've forgotten about what He's done in your life, the valleys He's brought you out of, hey, the mountains that He's helped you get on top of, the things He's helped you get through. We've forgotten it. Why? Because we have slid away from God. We have slid away from God. Lot here, foolishly blinded, crazy Lot. Rather give him daughters over to these wicked men. And then we see not only a course of backsliding. There's a cause, number one. There's a course, number two. But let me say this. There's consequences of backsliding also. There's consequences. my favorite verse in the Bible, James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. Listen, God gives us a measure of faith. One day the Holy Spirit water is going to come along. We have that choice to trust Christ as Savior. And you know what? At that moment, you know what? We begin a new foundation. We begin a new life. The Bible says the old life, that old man's passed away, and behold, a new man has come on the scene. But guess what? Sin still, listen, my soul got saved, but my flesh didn't. Our flesh still desires. You know what? Even as a saved person, each one of us, we can fall. And that's what I'm talking about, falling away from God here, backsliding away because of sin in our life. Listen, Lot knew what was right. Hey, he had been living with Abraham, God's chosen man. He knew how to live and what to do and what was right. But yet, because of the mistakes that he made, the choices he made, he finds himself in Sodom and Gomorrah, one of the most wicked places we find about and read about in the Bible. But there's consequences for our backsliding. Let me say, number one here, we see that in Lot's case, we see that Lot lost his family member. He lost a family member. As we begin to read there, and if you continue reading in chapters number 19, I think it's verse number 11, if I'm not mistaken. Verse number 11 says this, now Abraham and Sarah were old, and I'm sorry, let me back up here, and they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they were wearied themselves to find the door. And we see that when God told Abraham to get up and get out of the city there, that Abraham's wife, okay, talking about there's consequences to backsliding, there'd be family members that could be lost. Lot's wife, in verse 26, I'm sorry, Lot's wife looked back. God had told him to get up out of there, to go up into the mountains, do not look back. When fire began to rain down and what it just go forward and get out of there as quickly as possible and not to look back. And we read there as we're going up there, going out of there, that when the fire began to come down in verse 26 of chapter 19, Lot's wife looked back. She looked back to see what, she disobeyed God. She looked back, and guess what? The Bible said she turned into a pillar of salt. Lot lost his wife. Why? Because he made a bad choice earlier on when he left Abraham. And you know what? After he left Abraham there, he made even worse choices as he got into Sodom and Gomorrah. And when he got there, he even made more bad choices. And you know what? As God was trying to deliver them out, he lost a family member. You know what? Hey, can't blame her for looking back. You know what? She'd been following Lot the whole time. He's been out of God's will. And yet, you know what? It led to her saying, okay, I'm going to look back anyway, God. And you know what? She died. And then we see not only that, but we see that he lost the innocence. If we go on, we'll see that his two daughters lost their innocence because of his sin, because of his path that he took. Let me say this. Not only do you lose family members, it's talking about consequences of backsliding, okay? Let me say this. You might lose family members, but you'll lose blessings also. You'll lose blessings. In chapter 13, verses 14 through 18, we see that God promised Abraham all the land. And if we study that out, and he gives a picture of exactly what, basically, that he was given Abraham. He said, this is yours for my people. Lot separated. You know what? Because he separated from Abraham. And he took the wrong path. He became a backslidden condition. He missed out on all the blessings that God had in store for the children of Israel. He missed out. Because you know what? He made bad decisions. Not only that, let me say that you'll lose also the consequence of backsliding is you'll lose godly fellowship. You'll lose that godly fellowship with those who truly, truly are your friends. You know what? I've got many good friends. Brother Bill's, I've said already, he's one of my dear friends. I love him. But you know what? If he were to get out of God's will today, and I mean he gets out there and he lives in the world and he could care less about church, about God, and anything else, and you know what? There'll be consequences that come along with that. But you know what? I'd still love him, and I'd still try to tell him that he needs to get things right. But guess what? That would affect our fellowship, wouldn't it? It would affect our relationship. We have the same convictions we do. We do. I love him. He loves me. You know what? But it would affect us. Because you know what? All of a sudden, I couldn't hang out with him anymore because of my convictions. And I wonder how many of you fall into that category today. I wonder how many of you, you know what, because of the little sin in your life, the things that you let go on in your life, hey, the places that you are right now, the place that you've gotten yourself into this very moment, I wonder how many godly friends that you've truly lost. I wonder that. You know, hey, we need godly friends. Hey, we need to hang out with godly people. Saul got saved and he wanted to hang out with the disciples. Hey, he didn't want anybody else. He didn't go back to that old crowd. You know what? He wanted to be around others who had the same convictions as him. And that should be our goal too. But we'll see the consequences of backsliding is, listen, that godly fellowship. You'll lose some godly fellowship with those who love you very much. You'll lose it. It'll be gone. It'll be gone. Let me say number four here, that not only will you lose, or number three, you lose your family members, you'll lose some blessings, and you'll lose godly fellowship, but you also can lose some possessions too, some personal things. We see here that God destroyed every possession that Lot had except his daughters. His wife and his daughters, as they came up out of there, he said, leave everything behind. The only thing they had on was what clothes they had on, and they went up the hill trying to get out of there. You know, everything that they had and all, everything was destroyed. You know what sin will do? Sin will cost. It's costly. Romans 6 and 23 says what? For the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The penalty for sin is death. And we see here in Lot's life, listen, because of his choices that he made, you know what, he lost his wife, he lost his innocence of his daughters, all his possessions are gone, he missed out on the blessings that God had in store for the children of Israel. You know what, he missed out, that godly fellowship that he once had with people didn't have anymore. But let me say most of all, and lastly, Brother Bill, y'all come on, Emily, y'all come on the piano. Let me say lastly, not only, and it's bad enough to lose our godly friends, okay? Listen, it's bad enough to lose godly friends. Hey, it's even bad enough that you know what, we lose possessions. You know what, hey, we need things. I like, there's nothing wrong with having possessions. God said that they had great multitudes, they're very rich. There's nothing wrong with having things. But you know what, hey, and it's sad when we lose them. And you know what, it's sad to lose those, and it's really sad to lose those godly friends. But let me say this. The saddest thing I believe a Christian can lose, the saddest thing is his testimony. The saddest thing we can lose as a born-again, saved believer of the Lord Jesus Christ is to lose our testimony. You know what your testimony is this morning? Andrew, you know what your testimony is? I can tell you what it is. It's what everybody sees in your life. Logan, you know what your testimony is? It's what everybody sees in your life. How you act, where you go, what you do. Blake, same thing with you. Caleb, all of us. You know what, Anita? All of us. It doesn't matter who we are, Miss Kim. You know what people see in our testimony is what people see. Our actions that we take. Hey, do they show that we love the Lord? Do they show that we're right with Him? Do they show that we have a care for others? Does it show? Does our life show that? But the worst thing, we can lose our testimony. You know what? Hey, you can. It takes a lifetime to build your testimony. I'm still building my testimony today. You know what my testimony is? What y'all see in me. What y'all see me do. Some know me for years. Some know me only for just a few months. But you know what? If someone were to ask you, hey, what does Greg Yancey mean to you in your life? If somebody came up and said, hey, what does he mean to you? Each one of you would have something that you could say. And you know what you would say? You would say whatever it is that you saw in my life. That's what you'd say. That testimony. But you know what sin will do for us? It'll cause us to backslide. It'll cause us to get to that place where, guess what? In a moment, just like that, what we've worked on and built it on for years and years and years, you know what? Can be torn down because of one thing. That testimony can be gone, can be lost. I have a dear, 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 dear friend of mine. I don't know, up in age, probably close to 70 years old. Great man of God I love so much. I mean, he's helped me more probably than anybody else in my life spiritually. I mean, he's one of my spiritual giants. He is. I love him to death. He spent years and years pastoring and preaching the gospel. I'm talking about many, many, many. And you know what? He makes one mistake one day older in life, and guess what people see him as now? Some. Well, he's that preacher that messed up. You know what? They forget about all those years, those 40, 50 years that he's preached and pastored. All those phone calls and all the times in the middle of the night him and his wife had sat by the bedside and prayed. And all those times where they've went through persecution. And you know what? People, they forget about all the souls that they've led to the Lord. They forget about how God has used him and his family. They forgot all about that, all the good that he ever did. You know what? We forget. We forget that because all of a sudden, guess what? We just want to focus on what somebody did wrong. And that is not fair. God that will forgive me for the things in my life that's not right will forgive him, forgive you. It doesn't matter. But our testimony can be lost just like that. Just like that. It can be gone. Lot here, family that backslid away from God. It all goes back what Lot saw. It all goes back to him looking out and making a decision based on what he saw and how what he saw made him feel. And he made the wrong choice. And from that moment on, you see choice, bad choice after bad choice after bad choice after bad choice after bad choice. On and on and on. Further and further away from God. I wonder this morning, how many of you in here this morning would be willing to say, you know what, that sounds a whole lot like my life. That sounds a whole lot about like my life. I may not have a whole lot. I may not be rich and like Lot was. I may not have, you know, kids and family. We don't have that yet. You don't have that yet. But you know what, there's some things that you've had that God's blessed you with. I mean, there's some things in your life that, hey, you've been so thankful that God's done in your life. But all of a sudden, you find yourself in that same position that Lot's in. And I wonder how many this morning be willing to just come and say, oh God, I'm so sorry. Forgive me. Forgive me. Hey, forgive me, Lord. I've been blinded. I've been blinded. I've let blindness set in my life. Hey, you know what? Some of you, I know this, you've told me, some of your dear friends, you know what? They don't even talk to you anymore because the thing that's going on in your life. You sat in my office and told me that. You know what? They're still out there probably praying for you, wanting you to, you know what, to just get right with God. Let me say this, and we'll go. That's all. We stand together. Everybody stand together. Eyes closed. Nobody looking around again. Nobody at all looking around, please. Let me say this.